True, the same is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum and welcome. You're listening to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about Arba'een in Islamic culture. So be with us.
Assalamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Today, Sunday, 17th of Safar, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Shahrivar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of September, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we choose chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 30, to listen to, and then we'll learn more about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون.
And mention, O Muhammad, when your Lord said to the angels, indeed, I will make upon the earth a successive authority. They said, will you place upon it one who causes corruption therein and sheds blood, while we declare your praise and sanctify you? Allah said, indeed, I know that which you do not know.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
According to what the leading Islamic scholars and learned men and experts have said, the objective meaning of Khalifa, that means deputy, is the divine vicegerent on the earth. Because the question which the angels ask later, saying that the human race may make mischief and shed blood on the earth while the angels celebrate his praise, reinforces this very meaning that Allah's vicegerency on the earth is incompatible with these deeds. However, Allah was pleased to create a being above all the creatures of the universe, the best creation, appropriate for being a divine vicegerent, Allah's deputy on the earth.
أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بيب الأحرار سيد الشهداء أبي عبد الله الحسين وجعلنا من المنتظمين بمصابهم مع إمامهن منصورهن من آل محمد.
Today, as the previous episode of today's special, we're speaking about Arba'een in Islamic culture, the 20th of Safar of the year 61 AH is called Arba'een, meaning the 40th, because 40 days had passed since Imam al-Hussein's uprising in Karbala. Every year, those who are passionate and devoted to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, and the leaders of that fateful uprising, on the anniversary of Arba'een, hold a mourning ceremony, the most important and magnificent of which, without a doubt, is the huge procession of the lovers and mourners of Hussein ibn Ali to Karbala. millions of passionate, devoted pilgrims from different countries, from the cities of Iraq, especially the holy city of Najaf, the tomb of Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, go to Karbala on foot to visit the magnificent and enlightened tomb of Husayn ibn Ali, peace be upon him, on the day of Arba'in.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about one of the significant religious events in the Islam world, which is called Arba'in. The social aspects of Arba'in are profound. The pilgrimage fosters a sense of unity and solidarity among participants, transcending borders, languages, and cultures. Pilgrims often walk long distances, sometimes barefoot, towards Karbala, forming massive processions known as ziyarah. This journey promotes a spirit of communal support as pilgrims offer food, water, and shelter to fellow travelers along the way. During Arba'in, the city of Karbala transforms into a hub of hospitality. Local residents open their homes and set up mawakib, or makeshift rest areas. The mawakib means some rest areas for the travelers or for the pilgrims who come to Karbala from different parts of the world. So they set up mawakib to provide free food, water, and accommodation to pilgrims. This act of selflessness and generosity is a central aspect of Arba'in, emphasizing the importance of compassion and service to others.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
In this part, let's listen to a short part of Ayatollah Khamenei's speech on Arba'in. The leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran says, usually in such phenomena like Arba'in Walk, which has not been promoted in any way, but which suddenly emerges before one's eyes, the divine hand is more visible than in other phenomena. Notice how much effort and program is made in the world in order to gather 10,000 or 50,000 individuals in one place. But in the end, they are unable to do so. In our country, despite the existence of many obstacles, millions of people go to Karbala by way of an 80-kilometer walk. They walk, but they do not go there to enjoy themselves and to rest in a hotel. And a crowd of people several times larger than this goes to Karbala from within Iraq and from other countries. This is a divine event. This is a divine phenomenon. This shows that this path is the path of love. However, it is not a blind love. Rather, it is a kind of love that is marked by insights such as the love the friends of Allah have for God. O God, feed me with your love and the love of whomsoever loves you, and the love of all those actions that help me get closer to you. Bihar al-Anwar, volume 91, page 149. This affection and this love is accompanied by insight. A person with such love knows and understands things, and this attraction and magnetic power pulls him. You know that Arba'in March is the most magnificent religious gathering in the world. Although in other religions, large religious gatherings are held for various reasons, such as rain, forgiveness and repentance, thanksgiving, and etc., the Arba'in March is different from other religious gatherings in many ways. These loving pilgrims have come step by step. They have reached Karbala on this road. It was not only their feet that were moving towards Karbala, and it was not these bodies that were in the turmoil of reaching Karbala. Rather, it was these devoted hearts that for the love of Imam al-Hussein dragged their bodies and legs towards the holy shrine in Karbala. The love of Hussein inspires an indescribable joy in the hearts, and the hardships of the road, blisters on their feet and wounds are no reason to stop from this significant path.
Now, what about this objection that it's impossible for the family of Imam Hussein to go on this journey in 40 days? Some people today are sitting and calculating logistically, is it even possible? If you look at the distance from Karbala to Sham, it's more than 1,000 kilometers. So how is it possible that in 40 days they went and they came back? This should take months and months. How do we address this misconception here? When we examine the circumstances of that journey, my dear brothers and sisters, it was a very treacherous and difficult journey. It was not a vacation where they would allow the family of Imam Hussein to rest when they wanted. Do you know how many hours a day they would put them to difficulty and hardship on that travel, on those camels? Sometimes from 12 to 14 hours they would be crossing the deserts. And that was part of their mission, to humiliate the family of Imam Hussein, to put them through difficulty. So they would not let them stop so often to get some rest. It was a very, very difficult journey. Now, if the distance from Karbala to Sham, going through Kufa, is a little bit more than 1,000 kilometers, how many kilometers a day do you think they could have trespassed, they could have taken the distance of during that time? If you now examine the average distance that a camel can travel during that time, camels could easily travel at least 80, 90, 100 kilometers. If they're going at a very slow pace, they can easily go 6 to 7 kilometers an hour. Now imagine if they were moving 12 hours a day, 13 hours a day, sometimes even 14 hours a day, they could easily cut across the desert for 90 kilometers a day, 100 kilometers a day. So when we have historians like Al-Khawarizmi, who states on the 20th, on the 1st of Safar, like 20 days ago, the caravan of Imam Hussein arrived Sham, that means it took them 20 days to take this journey. Is this something impossible? To travel about 1,000 kilometers in 20 days? That's not impossible. That's averaging 50 kilometers a day. This is not something that it is impossible for us to say, how did that happen?
Dear brothers and sisters, please keep us in your dua and supplication. We pray Allah for success of every Muslims in this world. Thank you very much for your time, and fi amanillah.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.